We get the hour underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program an actress, writer, and filmmaker who's hoping to turn a terrific Stephen King short story from the Night Shift collection into a film. And she's going to tell us about her work and how maybe you can help out the effort as well. We're happy to be joined this afternoon by filmmaker Julia Marchese. Julia, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, I'm so excited to talk to you today. I'm wearing my my Dice Out shirt special. Just for this.
You're based on the West Coast, but you've not only been here, you've taken the tour, you've been to the studio here, posed by the sign like everybody did, and have seen some of those Stephen King highlights of the community.
Oh my goodness, Bangor is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen. I want to go back. It's Maine's gorgeous. I was there in the autumn, so it was, I'd never seen the changes of the leaves before. I'm from the West Coast, so it blew my mind. It was so beautiful.
Well, yeah, it's pretty beautiful here today, but then it could also snow any minute, too. So it it has its ups and downs here. Let's start with the story itself. How were you drawn to the terrific short story, I Know What You Need?
So I don't know. I think it was just within the first couple of sentences. It's about a story of a girl, a college girl, who meets a strange boy who his first words to her are, "I know what you need." And within the first description of Edward's character, I was kind of intrigued and was along with the main character for the ride, because you know that something's weird about him, but you're not exactly sure what. And I kind of went along with that. And it's such a interesting story of his, and takes place at the University of Maine, which we will be filming at if this crowdfunding campaign succeeds.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love the idea behind that. Yeah, Ed, as it turns out, has got some, he's got some powers, to say the least, but it also, I think it speaks a lot to the nature of relationships and power differentials between men and women. And even though the story is, I think, more than 40 years old now, it's certainly something people can relate to today.
Definitely. And I'm keeping it set in 1976 when the story was first published in Cosmopolitan magazine, mainly for narrative reasons, just because the internet would throw a big monkey in that wrench that I don't want to have to deal with. And I want to keep the story as true to the actual story that is. But it is an interesting story about where does the line between love and obsession cross. But there is a romantic element. It is a love story of sorts, and you have this character who has powers, but he wants to use them for love, which is an interesting thing when most Stephen King characters want to use them for fire or overthrowing governments or saving children or, you know, whatever. And this is a very romantic way to use it.
Now, you got the rights, and we've talked about this on the show with folks before, but this whole Dollar Babies program that Steve has set up is so cool and such an opportunity. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the process was like?
Yeah, there's if you just go on stephenking.com, there's a Dollar Baby tab that will show you all the stories that he has available that you can option for a dollar. And so the deal is that it's a year-long contract, and the short film has to be 45 minutes or under and non-profit, non-broadcast. So you can't sell it, but you can show it in film festivals and private screenings. And you just send in an application, and if they say yes, they say yes. So it's really just a question of asking. I believe in life you have the courage to ask for. So I think that just asking, I fully expected them to say no, and they said yes. So it can totally happen.
That's fantastic. And so you're doing a crowdfunding through Indiegogo to try and get enough money to make this film. But also, as you pointed out, really important to you to tell the story right. And to do that, you want to film on the actual sites mentioned in the story.
I'm thrilled. The University of Maine campus is so incredibly gorgeous. And for a constant reader like myself, to have a story set in the exact locations where the story takes place is phenomenal. So it's even mind-blowing to me to think that that is an option. The Indiegogo campaign that I have running, it goes through October 24th. You can just go to Indiegogo. You can type in Stephen King. You can type in I Know What You Need, and it'll come up. And I've had a lot of great support so far, and especially from the constant readers and the Stephen King fans who know the idea of filming it where it takes place is how special that is.
From a filmmaker's perspective, and also as an actor too, what is it about Stephen's works that make them so adaptable? What makes them cinematic?
I think he deals with a lot of universal themes. I think fear is, everybody knows what fear is, and everybody has different fears, and he's able to kind of make those universal things seem personal. But I think the interesting things about Stephen King adaptations is you get so many different ones that feel so different, because even though everybody's reading the same story, everybody interprets that story different. So my version of I Know What You Need is maybe not the one he has in his head, but that's how I interpret it. So that's what I love about seeing all these different versions, is you say, oh, this is how this person saw it, or this person, and it's a totally unique way of seeing the exact same story.
And, you know, sometimes he likes the adaptations, other times not. Most famously, The Shining, which is, you know, is acclaimed as a modern classic horror film, but one that he wasn't all that thrilled about.
Yeah, he called it a fancy car with no engine. That's pretty, pretty hard. but I can see, you know, Kubrick is a very... cold sounds mean, I don't mean it to sound mean, but he's a very cold director. It's a very kind of emotionally detached in a way that I think that maybe doesn't work as well as Stephen was hoping. But I think he had problems with casting. I mean, I can't say what he was thinking. I'm not Stephen King.
Do you have a favorite King adaptation?
Oh, that's a great question. I really loved the first chapter of the new It that came out. I thought that was fantastic. I love Firestarter. I love Dead Zone. I just watched Cujo for the first time, which was amazing. Pet Sematary was the first one that I saw, and that was the one that really got me both into reading King and horror as a whole genre.
Julia, can you also tell us a little bit about your Horror Movie Survival Guide podcast?
I sure can. I have a podcast. It's been running for over 3 years. We have over 170 episodes, and it's my best friend Terry and I, and we talk about a different horror movie each week, and we break it down. We do a deep dive into every little detail and really break down each film, and the idea is, how do you survive the film? If you were in this situation, how do you become the final boy or the final girl and survive? So it's been so amazing to have an opportunity to talk to my best friend about horror movies and have other people listen and respond and want to be involved with it. So it's been an amazing thing. You can just Horror Movie Survival Guide. That's us.
Why do we love horror movies so much? What is it about being scared?
I think it's like being on a roller coaster. I think it's that feeling of exhilaration, but you know that you're safe. And I think especially when watching it in a big audience with a big theater, it's something that horror feels so different when you're surrounded by others. If you're watching a horror movie by yourself at home, it doesn't feel like it does if you're watching it with 500 people in a crowded movie theater, which I know is not possible right now, but on a hypothetical level, horror, you know, people feel fear together. And I think that's a very communal experience, especially if you're going through it with other people, that makes you feel connected.
So the Indiegogo project is going on right now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, through the 24th?
Yes, that's correct.
And so people can help out the cause. And if you meet your goal in this, have you got a timeline for when you might look to begin filming?
Yeah, we're looking hopefully to film next summer, 2021. So hopefully everything will be a little calmer by then. And even so, it's a very small cast. There's only three main characters. So I don't think it'll be a problem. But I thank you to having me on your show and for shouting out this campaign. It means so much to me. And this is really a dream project. It's my very favorite short story by my very favorite author. So the passion is 100% there.
I also want to give you the opportunity, too, to get in a little plug for the arts in schools. I'm a high school drama director, so I work with young people quite a bit, and I know I know from the unimpeachable source of IMDb that you went to a high school for the performing arts. How important is it for us to have arts opportunities for young people in our schools?
Oh, it's priceless. I mean, I was in a community theater group when I was 10 years old, going all the way to 18, and it taught me everything about how to run every part of a stage show, to the responsibility of showing up and turning up on time. And you learn lessons that are not just there for a day, they're there for your entire life. And so I think everything builds on itself. You know, I studied drama, and then I studied film, and then I studied acting, and then I studied filmmaking, and it all just kind of builds on each other, and it wouldn't have started out if I didn't have the basis of arts to begin with.
Well, Julia, we wish you luck in the project, in the crowdfunding. Again, you can help out the cause. Go to Indiegogo for more information, and then good luck with the filming. Hope you'll stop by and see us when you're here in the state, and, you know, if you need a bit player along the way for a little small role. I don't need to be, I'm too old to be Ed, but you know, I cranky guy in a crowd scene, something like that.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. And that's a promise. I would love to come see you when I'm in Bangor.
That sounds great. Julia, thank you so much. Good luck with everything. And thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you. And say hi to everybody in Maine for me.
We will do that. It's Juliet Marchese working on the film, I Know What You Need, from the Stephen King collection, Night Shift.